shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. And on that day, the root of Jesse, set up as a signal for the nations, the Gentiles shall seek out, for his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, brothers and sisters. Whatever was written previously was written for our instruction, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another, in keeping with Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may be with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, then, as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. For I say that Christ became a minister of the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, to confirm the promises to the patriarchs, but so that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At the time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Pastor Paul Duke from the First Baptist Church in Ann Arbor said this about John the Baptist. Someone has said that John the Baptist is the watchdog at the gate of Advent. And there is no going in without getting by him. Every year, on the second Sunday of Advent, the lectionary readings present John the Baptist. He doesn't fit the tone of the season, does he? Can you imagine John the Baptist singing "Joy to the World"? He certainly reminds us that we're not in Christmas time, not yet. We're in the time looking at our lives to make them more receptive to the coming of the Lord. That's Advent. Getting through the gate means to face the piercing eyes of that watchdog whose name is John." Unquote. Wild-eyed, ragged-haired, locust-chomping, camel-clothed John the Baptist, the herald of Advent for us. He was no sweet talker, was he? "You brood of vipers," he shouted. How would you respond if I called you all a bunch of snakes? Or if I told you, "Now don't just claim to be Catholics," just as he said to them, "and you don't try and get out of this by just claiming to be Jewish, sons of Abraham." "No," he said, "lay the axe to the root. Show me the evidence, the fruit of repentance. Hey, and how did they respond to this precious bundle of affirmation, huh? Amazingly, the Bible says that Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to see him. That's a very large area and a very difficult journey from the cool, verdant mountain plateaus of Jerusalem to the hot, dry, barren desert land of the Jordan. Why were they all going out to John the Baptist? I don't think it was because he was proclaiming publicly to them their sins. It was because he was saying something that struck their hearts. He was saying something that was of great consequence. He was saying this: the kingdom of God is at hand. That really doesn't excite us a whole lot, does it? Have we heard it too much? Is it like religious language? It was emptying Jerusalem to a people who had been waiting hundreds, if not thousands, of years for the Messiah. This was John the Baptist telling them, the time is now. This is the guy you've been waiting for. This is the time that we've been expecting. God isn't far away. God isn't playing hide and seek. God isn't just lurking somewhere distant in the future. God is here. God is now. So you better get ready. John was announcing the kingdom, and thus the king that Isaiah prophesied in our first reading. This was the guy John was saying was coming, of whose herald he was. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and strength, knowledge and fear of the Lord. This is our guy. He's not going to be like other kings. He's not going to judge by appearance. He'll give the poor justice and not abuse them, as is the constant pattern of the rich, which John says he shall strike the rich with the ruthless rod of his mouth. Then there's a time of great reversals and great reconciliation, things this world has not ever seen before. The wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, the calf and the young lion shall browse together. Ohio State fans and Michigan fans will hug and kiss together. The Tigers and the Yankees will get along. Yeah. Republicans and Democrats will love one another. Impossible. But that was saying it's a whole new ball game. Something astonishing is happening, and it was drawing everybody who could hear. All of what Isaiah was prophesying has not yet happened, but the king he was talking about has come and will return and will complete everything. And what did John say in the light of this was the right thing to do? Repent. Repent. Who has that in their top 10 favorite word dictionary, huh? How many times have you used that in a sentence in the last year? It's one of those religious words that has a more specific religious connotation to us than it certainly would have been to John the Baptist and Jesus and the apostles who were always proclaiming it. It just means change, change direction. We're going off on our own, change towards God. I've said this before, if I was trying to get out of the church and I kept on bumping into the wall, you could say repent. You're not going to get out of the church this way. Go that way. That's what repent means. Turn towards God. Listen to Him. We tend to be highly critical of someone with a hard message. Sometimes I think John the Baptist could have just been a normal guy with a hard message. People thought he was hard and mean because they didn't make him feel good. He didn't make Herod feel good, did he? And Herod took it out on John's head. The message of the second week of Advent is the same for us as it was for the people in John's day. This is what you've been waiting for. God's not far away. He's not playing hide and seek. He wants to be the center of your life. He wants to bless you more than you can imagine. He's not hard to find. He's here and He's now. So we better get ready. Repent, change. I used to say that most of us, if we are honest, know what our sins are. If we had a little exercise now, and I gave us all 1 minute, even faster than you could write, I think most of us are all too aware of the things that we shouldn't be doing. But I'm not as sure as that as I once was. A well-formed conscience is not as common as it used to be. We've really lost some ground. Many of us find it easy to adopt the godless rationalizing mentality of our culture, which doesn't think like God at all. Thinks more like his enemy. We adopt this thinking and think that the things that the church clearly teaches, which we try not to, you know, like hear too much, don't really apply to us. About the proper practice of our sexuality, how we use our tongues, our attitude towards God, and our commitment to obey His truth. You say, we're just doing what everybody else is doing. How bad could it be? Just as the people of Israel did repeatedly. It says in Joshua and Judges repeatedly that the people did what was right in their own eyes. And they got in trouble for that because they should have known better. So many of us are all too aware of our sins, and some of us, I believe, still have a colossal case of denial, such as some of us still hold much too casually to the obligation to attend Mass every Sunday, and holy days of obligation, which now that you bring it up, we have this week on Wednesday. But I'm also growing in the understanding that many of us are not aware of what concerns God most. Listen to me here. I think a lot of times in our lives, it isn't the things that we do, crossing the lines, disobeying, that concerns God most. It's the things that we're not doing. When he looks at our lives and we understand how much he loves us, it's not so much the things we're doing wrong, it's the things we're not doing right. Here are four things that I think concern God immensely if we're not doing them. First and foremost, this is as basic as you can get. Have each one of us personally abandoned our will to God? Said, your way, God, it's blank check. Your truth is my truth, even if I don't see it completely. And it's not a matter of doing it. None of us are going to do this perfectly, but if we made that fundamental commitment, but that's our starting point. Lord Jesus, take my will. Remember, Jesus said, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord. It's not those who sing the songs. What is it? It's those who do the will of my Father. It's that commitment of Jesus in Gethsemane. It's why that picture is over there, because not my will, but yours be done is absolutely so fundamental to having a relationship with God. That's the central battle of your life. It's not a matter of you being a good person. It's a matter of, is your life committed to Jesus Christ? Abandoning your will. Growing in your faith. In this regard, I think of the parable of the guy who got 5 talents and he, you know, was a good guy and he gave back 5 more, right? The guy with 2 talents gave back 2 more. The guy with 1 talent, what did he do? All he gave back was the 1 talent. Now, he didn't squander it like the prodigal son. He kept it. I think that's some of us in our attitude towards our faith. I kept it, not lost it. That's not good enough. It needs to grow, develop. We don't stay in first grade. Else we'll just slip back. Where is growing in your faith on your list of priorities? This is important to God, who loves us, wants us to grow up and be strong. Abandoning your will, growing in your faith, sharing your faith. Now look, the Catholics are notoriously bad at this. Like, this is like a Protestant thing, right? Jesus says, if you deny me, I will deny you. The Bible says, always be prepared to make a defense of the hope within you. Give to others what you've been giving. Make disciples of all nations. We're all to be witnesses. Hey, you don't have to be John the Baptist and go crying out, repent in the mall. You don't have to dress up in sackcloth and carry one of those signs. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Now, some of us, I think, good Lord, I'm proud of just getting there myself. That's okay, that's good. But let's raise the standard. God expects more of us. Especially those of us who are coming regularly. You don't have to fight that battle. Invite somebody to church, somebody who isn't doing well, somebody who's sick. You could invite somebody to one of our healing services. to receive the sacrament of reconciliation. In this regard, they'd need to be Catholic. If you tell me ahead of time we can't give them the sacrament, I'll just pray for them without the anointing. We can do this a number of ways. These are opportunities for people to grow in their faith. Think now of bringing somebody to Christmas. Give them a ride, like an encouragement. What kind of gifts are you giving for Christmas? Drop some seeds. When was the last time somebody, you actually went out on a limb and told somebody something a little risky, that you're a Christian, that you love Jesus? A truth from the Bible that you remember from long ago. This isn't an optional part of the package. It's a duty of all of us. We grow as we give. Abandoning your will, growing in your faith, sharing in your faith. How are you doing in these things? I think these are on God's A list. And lastly, are we receiving His grace? God loves us so much, folks. I feel like sometimes He's got a hose with which He wants to fill our trough to bathe us, and we're dealing with an eyedropper, or He's got this feast and we're taking the crumbs. There's so much more. In prayer, that's why we pray. In receiving the sacraments and doing some of these things, it's not duty. It's doing things that connect us to the great love that God has for us, and He died to give us. And confession is a part of the response that Catholics make to the call to repentance. And I am especially pleading with those who haven't been in a long time. It doesn't get any easier. Go now. Just get it over with. You'll be really relieved. It'll be a huge blessing. It'll be a big burden off your shoulders. But it's what you need to do, all of us. It's not just about the wrong of the past. It's about even more getting the power to live in the future, to have what God wants us to have, to live the lives that He wants us to lead, which are a lot more full of His grace than a lot of us now know. You listen to John, put the axe to the root, deal with the real source of the problem. I want to see some results, not just talk. Because God's right here, right now. What else do you think John the Baptist would say to you?